Thank you. Thank you, guys. It's true. You guys can be seated, but it's true. You know, sometimes you get in these situations in life where you're going, "Where are you, God?" And he goes, "I was right there with you. Amen. I was in that. I was with you in that place." You know, we're all just human people. I'm just human. The thing is, when I read the Bible, I just see that it doesn't matter whether you were a churchgoer or a power minister or a prophet or whatever, throughout the scriptures, you see that we all went through trial and tribulation. And he was right there, sustaining you in your deepest darkness, in the agony, in the internal agony. He was there. And he had a plan. And he sustained you so that you could get through that one and then another one. And here, look at you here today. Amen. Look at where you are today. Those scriptures like this, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Scriptures like, "I knew you in the womb," Jeremiah. He had a plan for you. He knew it would be, I don't know why I'm on this, but this I must be where the God's going tonight, but he had a plan even when you had no idea and you were running free on your own accord. Whether you were incarcerated in deep addiction, suffering, and fighting in prayer for the life of your child, going through deep darkness of childhood, he was right there with every one of you. Amen. Every one of you. There's not one person in the room. I heard the voice of God, and he showed me from a little boy when I used to fear coming home from school. I was right there with you. I was right there with you. Through every hard time in ministry. Every hard time in ministry. When I felt like quitting, he goes, "I was right there too. Every miracle my eyes have seen God do, I was right there also." No one in this room, no one in the body of Christ can ever say that God was not with you. Because it wouldn't make him do, he wouldn't be true to who he is. Because when we get saved, we become children of God. And even children have to grow up. And we go through things in life. And we need to learn that God is with us the whole time. The whole time. And he'll be with me tomorrow. When I lay my head down on the pillow tonight, he will be with me. He's even in my dreams. He never leaves you. He never quits talking to you. Sometimes we just tune him out. And then something happens. I was going, "Oh, they're not going to play the set that I wanted last night. They're not going to play that." You guys didn't play that, did you? I got messed up. I couldn't hear the worship set you guys did last night. Did you play it tonight? I didn't think so. But I got all messed up on the first song, but I heard the first song, and I go, "I don't think that's the first set." I got all messed up, and then I started closing my eyes. So, you know, I've learned, God says, "I can't use you if you can't worship." Come on. That's right. I was in an African church, and they were in Texas with instruments that sounded like it was a bunch of cat and dogs singing and squealing. And it was tough, and I was like, oh my goodness, Jesus. You know, this is terrible. Let's get through this. I wanted to leave. I wanted to just kind of wait, go out in the foyer and stuff. And the Lord spoke to me. He says, I won't be, if you can't get your, they're singing. They're doing what they're doing. They're singing to me. That's what he said.
Yes.
They're ministering to me. I've called them. He says, if you can't wrap your head around that, I won't be able to use you tonight. I said, whoa, Jesus. Do you know it's okay for God just to wipe you out in church? Whether it's emotionally, power-wise, whatever, it's okay. He's the Father. Come on now. He's Daddy. I had a hard time calling him Daddy for a long time in my walk until I got some inner healing. And I can call him Daddy. And he has been good.
Amen.
To me.
Hallelujah.
Real good to me. And he's been good to you.
Yes.
If you were honest. If you're honest. He's been really good to you. You might not realize it until you get into this prophetic moment, this flow of worship. You know, worship is supposed to touch, not the worship is supposed to heal you too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Worship is a powerful tool in the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, maybe we'll just talk. Maybe we'll just talk for 15 minutes and then we'll pray for people. But you know, when people are having encounters with God, the last thing they need is an interruption with by a brother or sister. God is fully capable of handling the situation. He really is. And you know, I don't care who you are, whether you're a minister that's visiting a church, or you're a pastor of the church, or if you're just here for the first time as the very first person or the very first day of Liberty Life. Whatever that is, wherever you are in between all of that, it's okay to allow God to minister to you. You have to. You have to allow it. We've got to open it up to the Father. And we've got to bare our hearts, and we have to go through those. We have to walk. Look, I tell people to do this all the time in ministry. Think of a hard time and let the emotion come up. Well, that's what I was doing over there. I was weeping. I was trying to hold it back because I'm not supposed to do that. You know, I get all messed up. I'm not gonna be able to preach at all. And I said, and then you know what? I said, who cares? I got him. I'll just say, Jesus, line him up and pray and hit him. So I just let go. I just let go. And even though I thought I had made it through it. And then the second time they went through the song. Another spot. But I feel good. I feel like I went through a car wash on the inside. You feel good. You feel clean. You know? I didn't realize I was carrying some of that stuff. You know, I thought I had dealt with it. That's the thing. Sometimes you think you've dealt with it until God puts his finger and says, it's time for a new layer to be stripped off. Really. It's called inner healing. Or the healing of the heart. Luke calls it the brokenhearted. We're healthier when we do that. When you go through the stuff like that with God, you grow. And I have something to grab a hold of with the next one. Not only did I have the vision in my mind, but I had the emotion in my heart. And I heard the voice say, I was there. It's all he said. I was there. And in my spirit would just say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. At times you have to be vulnerable to your people, to the people of Christ. If leaders don't do this, the church won't.
That's right.
That's why they call us shepherds and leaders and all that. Oh, they give us all these titles. But we're people.
That's right.
And we have to say, if it's good for me, it's good for you. And if I feel safe enough to do it here, you should too.
Amen.
Yes? Jeff didn't come over and say, hey, what's wrong with you? You know? You see what I'm saying? The kingdom of God is with you. It's with you. The whole kingdom. Just go there. Keep going. Don't shut it off. Don't try and avoid the situation. Everybody has something in their life. I'm telling you now. Everybody has something. It might have been a person. It might have been something else. But everybody has something. And until you let it go, until you walk through it with Jesus, it's still there and it's there. You know, when you grow up in a home that's violent, you know, I'll just share a little bit here tonight just so that you can be safe. My home was so violent, my mom's dad murdered my father. Because he knew if I didn't take him out, the cops weren't going to do anything in 1970. They weren't going to do a thing. They'd come out and separate, but they wouldn't take somebody to jail like they do today. Somebody goes to jail in domestic violence today. Somebody goes. And what happened is my grandparents decided that this was it. You know, he's beating the grandchildren and he's beating my daughter. And so they invited us over for a barbecue with the total pretext of taking us little kids out to the garden. And then the next thing you know, you hear bang, 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 bang. And I see my father running out of the house and drops dead in the driveway. And his last breath that I heard was, help me. You know, the thing is, God can do anything with anybody.
Yes.
Even if you start out as damaged goods. I'm serious. And all the things that, you know, even in ministry, ministry is a hard road. Eventually you're going to have your trial and your tribulation. And people are going to talk bad about you. People are going to falsely accuse you. Things are going to happen. And you just say, Lord, all I'm wanting to do is to serve you. And I want to help people. I just don't want to, you know. But some people just can't get across that bridge. They find something that's wrong with you. You know what I'm talking about? You guys, am I just talking to the walls or? You know, an amen every once in a while just kind of allows me to know that you're okay. You're still breathing and I don't have to raise the dead here or anything like that. Of course, I can't do that either. But I know somebody. Yeah, that's right. But you know, you always have to remember, no matter how tough it is, no matter what is going on in your life, you belong to Daddy God. You belong to Daddy. And sometimes, you know, there's scriptures that, and I'm just going to paraphrase this one because I'm really messed up. Happily messed up. But God won't give you anything that you can't bear.
Right.
And sometimes you get in situations and you just say, God, where are you? Why me?
Right.
Why me? Why did I go through this? Why am I in the middle of it? Right? Come on, we complain. We complain until 20 minutes ago, 30 minutes ago. And then he goes, I'm right there. I was there the whole time. I had my hand on your life the whole time. The whole time. Near-death experience. Brother through the windshield. Dad drinking. Pulling over with his gun. Chasing some guy into a bar. Trying to cap him. And shoot him. Guys having to jump him. He was a wild guy. My point is that if God can restore life, He can restore you. He can give you your hope and dream. He can give you what you're really desiring to do for Him. He can do that. When I got saved, that's all I wanted to do was do what I'm doing now. It just came on me. But then I had to learn to walk with God. He's the leader. He's the leader. I wrote a book called The Anointing, Walking with God. And it's, we start off with our own dream. And if it's our own vision and our own dream, even if He says, I want it, we put our vision to it and we put our expectation to it and it crashes. And then you're disappointed. And you say, what happened, God? Then he says, that wasn't my plan. Yeah. And then every once in a while, God will roll a prophet up on you and reset you.
Amen.
It'll tell you every, you know, I was reset. And nights like last night, I watched the last part of that prophetic word start to happen. It's been happening, but last night I told my wife, I think about 80% or more got healed last night. And I was like, whoa, Jesus.
It was amazing to see.
Because Jesus shared with me something that I would I would do something very powerful for him. Very, very powerful for him. And I have a hard time today understanding that, because I'm starting to see it, but I know it takes time. I know time is involved. There's training involved. There's walking through it. He's got to deal with your pride. He's got to deal with your imaginations. He's got to deal with so much stuff. Is this okay tonight? To have the hand of God in your ministry or on your life, you have to have His walk for you. And you have to figure out that self is not part of any of that. Humility is, but not self. Self doesn't fit God's program. It doesn't even come into His administration. You want the government of God to happen? You just let it happen. You come up here to Sedalia, Missouri, and you say, "Jesus, have your way. I don't know if you're going to heal one or all, but I'm here to do what I'm here to do." And when you start getting to that place, I'm not 100% there. I had to really check myself. I felt pride. And he was a small guy. He's a small guy now. Really small guy. Before it was like, "Oh man, did you see? You should have seen what God did last night." And it was just off the hook. And all I could do is, "Oh Jesus. Oh, the people. Just the people. Look what you did to your people." It's different. If he can't get there, he can't go there. You won't be the answer. Someone else will. Someone else. If you can't get to that place where your wayward children are where they are today, if you can't get to that place, "Oh Jesus, I trust you. I trust you. My job is to pray for their salvation. Your job is to make a way."
Hallelujah. Yes.
Your job. And the same way that it took my mama 25 years on her knees to get me saved. And then you know what she said when I took her to my first service and I did 25 exorcisms in one service? She says, "I'm not praying hard enough." See, that's a true story. True story. I mean, I'm talking about God was just making everybody pop. And it wasn't like deliverance toss up. It was like, "I'm going to kill you." That type of bombastic stuff. But you know, the scripture, we can't change ourselves. And I encourage every one of you, if you really want a deeper Christian life, who wants a deeper Christian life? This is how you do it. You serve the local church and you serve the people in it. You serve your job site. No, come on. It's all about stripping yourself down. And then all of a sudden, one day, you're thinking nothing's going to happen. Come on. I've been there. Oh, look at that wheelchair. That's not going to happen. So you wait until it gets to the end. Now I can't wait. I want to go right over there. But I'm being honest. You know, I was like, I've never been in that realm over there. But when you can pray for that person out of compassion, instead of saying, "Oh God, are you going to do this?" This would be a great ministry boost. Seriously, come on, I'm being raw tonight. I'm being real raw tonight. Because when the power of God starts visiting this house, you've got to be ready. Or he'll find another house to do it. Seriously, if you're not serving here and laying your life down for this church and serving your family and the things, you'll have inklings, you'll have sprinkles of power. And the more I kept going down the line, I'm going, oh, are you serious, Jesus? Really? I'm thinking to myself this stuff. I prayed for like 7 people and 4 people with things were healed. I'm going, that's all of them. That's all of them so far. No, you have this thing going on in your mind and you're surprised because I'm just going to be honest. I felt the power of God yesterday, but I didn't feel that kind of power. I didn't feel that power. Why? Because it had nothing to do with me. I'm just the guy that prays. And I release my faith with your faith and we believe Jesus. Right? But you got to get to that place where the miracle does not matter to the person praying. It's the wholeness of the person you're praying for. Oh, Jesus. This big old cat, whatever he was back here. You know what I found out of him? He was an amputee.
Yes, yes, he was. Yes, he was. Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
I had no idea he was an amputee. I don't know how. I didn't. I was tempted to say, "Let bro, take off your shoe."
Yeah, but you didn't.
Oh, no, I didn't. No, I didn't. Uh-uh. No, no, I didn't. The miracle is not what we're talking about.
Right.
We're talking about being vulnerable for God and going through certain, letting him heal us of this evil age.
Obedience.
Yeah.
Amen.
Jeff just said obedience. I had a choice to do.
Yes.
I can preach, talk to him about the kingdom or something, and I thought, no, man, this is, I had the thought, this is good.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'll just give me 5 more minutes and then I'll pray for you.
Okay.
Church, even when Lazarus died, Jesus wept. Jesus felt it. He felt the pain. That's why in Matthew 14:14, he says, Jesus was moved with compassion and healed them. You want what the church is supposed to have? These gifts and anointings and things? You've got to develop the compassion. You have to develop the compassion. And it only comes by serving. It only comes by serving, Jeff. I can't put myself in there.
That's what Jesus did.
Because you know what everybody does for me? Can I get you anything, Pastor? Can I get you anything? Can I come over and do this or that? And I say no. But thank you. No, but thank you. Everybody wants to serve me, right? And sometimes you don't get a chance to serve somebody else. So you have to force it on them. But I do. I do. But what I'm saying is it's hard for a minister to be a layperson. Like I was sitting right next to my sister. Be one of, you know? Because sometimes your sister or your brother sitting next to you has got an attitude. I mean, go think about it, right? You're in church and And if you, he say, hey, you know, Wendy, just give it to Jesus. They're looking at you like, what are you doing? I'm trying to let Jesus minister to this bad attitude. I remember when I was young in Christ, I'm out on the job site. My whole crew's working. God comes and visits me, and I'm having a thing. These guys are yo-yos. That used to be my word for a bunch of messed up people. You guys aren't working good enough, you're not doing the job right, so on and so forth, right? And I'm all upset. And God comes in, and he drops on me, and I'm going, uh-oh. He's here to adjust my attitude. But see, I was so young in Christ, I told the Holy Spirit, I know what you're trying to do, and I don't want it. I want my thing. Now, we all look at that and go, ooh, ooh. But come on. Next time you're in the woo-woo, you know, are we there? I mean, not only is he in here, but he's everywhere. Right? And next time you're in the woo-woo, why don't you just woo-woo to Jesus? And let the anger or the hurt or whatever it is, let it out. You got one more minute. Tonight, I want you just to let go. I want you to let go. I want you to let go of the anger that you may have towards your parents. I want you to let go of the anger that you may have towards anybody. Anybody. All it does is hurt us. It doesn't hurt them. It doesn't hurt them. I want you to let go of the guilt of what you've done to your children. I want you to let go of it tonight. I want you to come up here and I want you to let go. We'll have Kleenex up here instead of trash cans. But it's time. It's time to let go. It's time to forgive yourself for the torment you've put yourself through. Come on, the devil reminds you of this. I don't care who you are. If it's there, it's there. You know? We put on a good face, but pain is pain. Guilt is guilt. Condemnation is condemnation. If you feel guilty or condemned about something, you need to be up here tonight and let it go. I was going through emotional healing tonight for what happened to me in my life. And if I can do this, and I can talk to you tonight about it, you can do this. I share some of my secrets with you. You're going to share all your secrets with Jesus. Not me. Not me. You're going to come up here tonight and you're going to share with Jesus. And you're going to go, I've done this. That's what I was saying. Until the finger of God starts touching pain. And we were singing. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. And I just started to weep. And here comes memory after memory after memory of pain. Of pain. It's time. Jesus, it's time. Lord, I'm asking you to heal your people tonight emotionally. Remember, your emotion stands between you and your destiny. God can use you to a level. But if you want a deep level, you've got to go deep with God. Holiness, you can't, I'm just going to say it. You can't operate in a realm that brings testing from the enemy. Paul was prophesied to. And guess what happened to Paul? A messenger, that's a fallen angel, was sent to him to buffet his ministry the rest of the way. All through his whole ministry. How did you know that messenger was always with him? Messing with him even though the power of God was going? It's because cities were divided when Paul preached. Separating the wheat and the tares. Actually, I believe the definition is calling people out that were destined for salvation during that time. That's why it wasn't time for Paul to go into Ephesus. He was there. He had a vision. He had a dream, a vision. And he said, I'm supposed to go here. He ended up in Ephesus, in one of the biggest revivals ever. Probably the biggest revival recorded in the Bible, because it was territorial in power. Territorial in power. It wasn't revival that we're used to today, where it's revival in the house. It's revival where it happens through the body, the whole body. Are you understanding tonight? Let's stand. If that's you, if you feel this is between, matter of fact, come down here. But I don't want you to tell me about it. I want you to say, Jesus, hey, you know what? Why don't we do this? If you guys feel like you need to do this, let's handle this tonight. No, I just want you to come down. And it's time to go to the hard place. Time to go to the hard place. Now that won't work. You can't have your neighbor. You can't love your neighbor now. Just remember, your neighbor might need this tonight. Okay? I'm going to say one more thing. I've done this 100 times. Matter of fact, I've taken people through this over 10,000 times. Over and over again. And wham. All right. Close your eyes. And I want you to start by wherever you want to start. And I want you to have Jesus take you through every terrible memory And he's going to speak to you, to me, I was with you. I said, thank you, Lord. Take it. Let it go. Go there now.